And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Nerdy Notions, where we interrupt this program with some more WandaVision spoilers with Sasha.
Hi, I've had a bad day that was salvaged by WandaVision, so let's not waste any time as I'm miserable and on pain medication, and enjoy the magic that is WandaVision. All right, so this episode, first and foremost, is vastly different from previous episodes. It actually takes us into a different perspective altogether because it actually opens not at any point in WandaVision. It opens up in a hospital as a person is brought back to life from the snap, the blip, whatever you call it.
I
find it funny that the Avengers never set the record straight that it was a snap and not a blip, because I feel like the word blip just sounds dumb, but fine.
Well, yeah.
But we talked about that in when we did Spider-Man,
yeah. But the thing is that this is now taking place when the blip has happened and everyone's now returning.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. When everybody's returning. So it's the undoing of the blip. That better? Is that correct terminology? Yeah. Okay.
We're just cleaning it up a bit. I know you've had a rough day, so I'm just trying to make it make sense.
I think anybody that has seen this anybody that is listening to this show should have already watched the episode so they know exactly what I'm talking about. Anyway, so we see Monica get reconstituted, and can we just like once again talk about perfect casting? Like, they did such an amazing job of not just taking like casting Teyonah Parris to play an older version of Monica, but she also looks like she could be the older version of the little girl we saw in Captain Marvel. Okay. So Monica wakes up and she sees that there's the bed next to her is empty because she was in a chair, and she's running around frantically, and some guy wants to call his wife and needs a cell phone. I guess he didn't have a cell phone on him when the snap happened. Anyway, she finds this doctor, the doctor finds her, and she's like, "Where's my mom? I've only been asleep for like 20 minutes." And she's like, "What?" So they killed Maria. But what's interesting was Maria had cancer, and her and Monica were there to get so that Maria could have a surgery that would save her life, et cetera, et cetera. But the surgery was successful, but unfortunately the cancer came back and Maria died 3 years ago, which was 2 years after the snap. I wonder if anybody told Carol. Not like I really care all that much, but I feel like somebody should have told Carol. Mostly because I just don't care about Carol. But anyway.
Well, that's something we might actually get to see a little bit in
Captain Marvel too. Yeah. I actually have a note about that. It would be nice to see a little bit more of Maria, because what we saw of her was great, and would be nice to maybe explore a little bit more from her before we get to Monica being Photon. So we see S.W.O.R.D. and Maria's like walking in, and she tries to use her badge. And obviously her badge is not working. And the guy at the desk is a real dickwad. She was like, "My badge doesn't work." And he's like, "Ma'am, over here." And he's like, "Yeah, if you worked here, the badge would work." I'm like, dude, seriously? Did somebody like, is he one of those people that the snap brought back like a dead body or something? Or like he now has a second wife, or his kids don't like, or maybe he's just like really unnecessarily obnoxious. But we meet the guy who used to be her coworker, but is now her boss, Tyler Hayward. He's now director, having taken over after Monica's mom died. And we can see that we find out that Maria actually founded S.W.O.R.D. I really hope Captain Marvel 2 explains when this happened, because there's two places I can think of it happening. One, right after the events of Captain Marvel 1, but then why haven't we heard of S.W.O.R.D. before this moment? Or two, Nick Fury happened, and this is a joint project, but Nick Fury's like working behind the scenes with the aliens, and Maria was on the ground. We also find out that Monica is a captain, and she's a badass captain because she went to space and she's an astronaut, but the astronaut program is basically Bupkis. And Monica she's been grounded per mom's orders, because mom apparently knew she was going to come back. And so she gets sent to New Jersey to help the FBI with the missing persons case,
and real quick, before you hop even further, that one line right there, you know, the director says to Monica, you know, "Your mother always believed that you're going to come back." And something tells me, and this could be something that we can see in Captain Marvel 2 as well, and like all this right here is something that will most likely be touched on in Captain Marvel 2, we hope. because with the whole thing where Maria has that hope that Monica is going to come back from the snap, that leads me to believe that there have been conversations between Carol and Maria. I you have to think it because of the whole fact.
At least in the 5 years. Yeah. We'll find out. We'll find out. There's a funny moment where he was like, Monica was like, well, yeah, you were the right choice. And Tyler's like, yeah, let's be real here. I was the only choice. And Monica's like, well, I wasn't going to say it, but yeah. But anyway, so she goes to New Jersey and she meets our favorite close-up magic student, Agent Wu. And he actually does a little close-up magic as he like makes his badge appear to show that he's from the FBI. And there's like two local law enforcement, and we see this giant billboard that says, welcome to Westview, and these two local cops. And basically Wu tells Monica that he had a person of witness protection. I'm going to guess that's Dottie right now. And although he said he, so maybe it's Jones or Herb or something. Anyway, point is there was somebody who was in the witness protection program, but he vanished. But when he contacted family, nobody had ever heard of him or her. This creating this really strange. And anyway, so he tried to get in, he couldn't get into the town, and nobody seems to know anything about this town. And there's these two cops, and they're like, well, they tell Monica that there is no Westview. It doesn't exist when they're standing right in front of it. And Monica's like, so what town are you from? And they're like, Eastview. So it's clear that it looks like people within like a certain radius of the town don't know anything about the town, as kind of like almost like a security measure. Like just as you're about to get in, something turns you around and goes back, which could actually be an interesting nod to The Gifted, which actually had the mutants at a base where like as the closer you came to it, you will like experience fear that made you turn around. So it could be a nice nod, but anyway. They can't reach anyone on the inside, but Monica and Wu seem to be able to see the town and view it. So there has to be like a radius of like when you, like you had to have been, I think, in or near the town at the time to not be aware of it. So she grabs this little like drone looking thing and she flies it inside and then it vanishes. So then Captain Rambo, Monica's a captain, goes towards this barrier and she puts her hand to it and she gets sucked into the world. Next thing we see is 24 hours later. Also, it should be noted that despite Monica getting sucked in, nobody around her forgot her. So like, it's not a one-way door and then you forget. It had to have been already a thing when the town, when the thing showed up. So 24 hours later, we see Darcy's in a van. And she's like, so what's your specialty? And the guy's like, we're not supposed to talk to each other. I'm like, all right. And we find out that one is like a nuclear biologist. One is a guy who's like an expert in artificial intelligence. And then the last guy is a chemistry engineer. And by the time he says that, Darcy's like, nobody cares. But Darcy is Dr. Lewis. She now has a PhD in astrophysics. I guess she got busy after Thor 2?
Yeah,
Thor 2. It has to be after Thor 2.
Yeah, it has to be Thor 2 because that was the last time she was actually seen.
Right, and we sort of don't really know, like she doesn't really mention, anyway, point being, at some point after whatever experiences, she went back to college, and because this was a 5-year blip, and like the 5 years between like Thor 2 to Infinity War, however many, like it's actually pretty plausible that Darcy could have like switched majors, gotten a master's degree, gotten a PhD, done that stuff.
Well, I thought she was already majoring in that because when
political science.
Oh, that's right. She was doing political science at the time in the first film. So
yeah. So what I really love about Darcy in this is that she's not a joke. She's not here to be the comic relief. Like she's funny, but she's not there for the purpose of being comedic relief. And she's not.
She's more grounded.
Dumb. She's more grounded. She's more mature. She's an adult.
And she actually plays off of Wu really well.
Oh man, there are some fireworks there. Cannot even tell you. Anyway, so Darcy arrives and her equipment. The sword, I guess, started sending more drones or something, and none of them have come back. I'm like, you realize the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So they're like, oh, we're gonna send a guy in through the sewers. I'm like, yeah, this will end totally differently. But all right, we'll get to that. So when Darcy's like, so what kind of readings are you getting from there? And he's like, and this guy's like, that's classified. And she's like, all right, so you're not getting anything. Got it. So she has some devices and there's this like cosmic microwave background radiation that she's getting. And he's like, is this safe? She's like, well, for now. Darcy pulls out another device that is like super heavy and she sort of turns it on and there's like TV materials. And she says she needs an old TV, like not a flat screen. Meanwhile, Tyler Hayward arrives and he's sending an agent to go after Monica, whose name is Franklin. His name is Agent Franklin. It doesn't really ring any bells for me, but could be significant. So he goes in through the tunnels, but then what's really interesting though, is that as he goes in, he was being pulled by rope, right? The rope, as he transforms into this world, he becomes the beekeeper that we see in episode 2. The rope that was holding him like tethered actually breaks and looks like a 70s jump rope, like that crappy, like clunky plastic jump rope that made the noise and hurt really badly when you got hit by it in like gym class or whatever. So it's interesting that this Hayward is here because there's two possibilities for this. One, there is a Reginald Hayward in the comics that gets some like power boost from Shathan, which is one of the speculated villains of WandaVision. Or it's another reference to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because there was a character with the same last, two characters with the same last names that were at the S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy. So I don't know if this is trying to draw parallels to say that like what used to be S.H.I.E.L.D. is now thanks to Maria and Fury's sword or what. We don't know. We'll probably find out in another couple episodes if we find out at all. We might find out in Captain Marvel 2 or in Falcon and Winter Soldier or in anything else. So Darcy has a like a more useful visual and she actually starts watching the sitcom. And it's funny as Hayward is like, can somebody get me a straight answer? And there's Darcy just like watching the sitcom. What's interesting though is Darcy says, is it just me or like, is he dead? Like she recognizes Wanda and Vision, but how does she know that this is Vision? Because unless she like saw him on TV, but like nobody had ever seen Vision in a humanoid-esque form. So how does she know that's Vision?
That's something that just needs explaining. I mean, it's something where, I don't know, maybe because of her links to Jane Foster and Thor and stuff like that, maybe there is some communication or something like that.
Well, maybe we will get an answer.
Maybe she mentored under, you know, Banner or something. Who knows? You know,
I can see that.
I mean, you don't really know, and maybe Banner taught her stuff about Vision, but we don't know.
Yeah, she could. He was Professor Hulk, so why not?
Yeah.
All right, so. Oh, this is really important. We also find, I mentioned this earlier, but the events of WandaVision seemingly take place 3 weeks or around the 3 week mark after the blip. So I wonder if the episodes that actually take us to the present, at least in part, will actually explain what happened to Wanda after she unsnapped. So keep that in mind. All right.
Yes, because if I remember right, Spider-Man Far From Home was like what? A week, maybe a few days or a few days to a few weeks after the blip.
So I guess you could say, so you could educated guess and say that the events of Spider-Man Far From Home are happening like
maybe
slightly before the events of WandaVision. I think they say exactly at the beginning of Spider-Man exactly when it took place. I probably have notes in another notebook somewhere. I don't have that notebook on me. But anyway.
But one can say that Spider-Man Far From Home and WandaVision are kind of in that same realm of timeline with each other in a way.
Yeah, for sure. So. All right, so Hayward having seen this now, like this two Avengers are now in a sitcom, like what's going on? he has to go back to HQ and report to. I really hope it's not another Security Council. Just saying, because like the first one was annoying enough. So then they sort of start doing what the fandom has been doing, which is hilarious. And it's, they're playing detective. They're analyzing clues. So they're asking the same questions we are. Why the hexagons at the beginning of the episodes and endings of the episodes? They start identifying certain characters.
It's almost as if they wanted us to do that in the first three episodes.
Well, we didn't really get too many answers, but anyway, we end up sort of getting answers towards sort of like Monica's side of things, like how she got into the world, how she got out, and some clues as to what's really going on. But
we also get clues of also who these people really are. Like we find out who, you know, Herb and, you know, the mustache guy and, you know, the heart.
Jones.
The Jones. We end up finding out who they really are, with the exception of a few people like Dottie.
And Agnes, yeah.
But the interesting thing is that it happens once and it happens again a little bit later. But as Darcy is watching on the TV, she notices irregularities with the sitcom compared to what we saw when we watched the first.
We're getting to that. We're not there yet. We're at the investigation stage of our exploration. So we find out that what's interesting, though, is like I actually paused on Woo's like super secret screen, his like whiteboard, and there's a couple things that are noted. Skrulls are mentioned as one of the people behind it, but we can't see anybody else. Honestly, Skrulls are highly unlikely, but it serves as a nice nod to a later secret invasion show. So we find out that Mr. and Mrs. Hard are Todd and Sharon Davis, and sort of the real names of some of the other characters. And everybody has New Jersey driver's licenses, except, and we can see them, and they sort of mention who some of the big players are, like Jones, like Herb, like, what was her name?
The Hispanic woman.
Yeah, the one who was like, that Dottie was mean to. So we find out their real names and their character names if they hadn't been mentioned yet, like Jones. But Dottie, like Mike said, and Agnes don't have those identifying. They don't have IDs. Dottie has the ID, but she doesn't have, we don't hear her real name mentioned. So they also have a list of failed attempts to contact, like they tried the phones and things like that. So the question is, who is behind this? So Dottie's, Darcy gets the idea to contact Wanda through the radio. And it sort of works because Wu is able to reach her, but then Darcy notices that like, it sort of, there's like a cut scene. Like the editor just like cut the part that wasn't convenient in the episode, and there's some kind of censorship. So we actually saw more of the episodes as the viewers than the viewers did in WandaVision. So what's interesting is that the helicopter actually takes on the form of a helicopter. Like, it's not a drone now, it's just a cute helicopter. So the things that enter this universe, whether they are real, whether they are like human or material, they end up adapting to the things in this world. And one of the other agents brings this black and white photo of the helicopter. And Wu's like, why'd you colorize it? And she's like, I didn't. So something to keep in mind. Darcy drops some food when she sees Monica. This is actually, I think, before they try to contact her, but they're sort of like, is she playing along? Or like, is she like undercover just trying to fit in?
And you can kind of tell that she's trying to fit in because you can...
I think she's fitting in because she's forced to, because she didn't even have, I don't think she even had a name as a character of Geraldine until she talked to Wanda.
And that's the thing, because if you actually look at that interaction, because when you watch the interaction in episode two and the two of them talking, and then the interaction between the two of them in this one of the exact same interaction, there's actually more hesitation shown from Monica when she gives off the name Geraldine.
That's true. So maybe she made it in and was actually trying to like gather intel before she met Wanda, and that sort of reset her.
Yeah. And so she kind of got scared a little bit and is like, oh, I can't just say my name is Monica.
Yeah, so then Jimmy and Darcy watch the 70s episode, and for some reason, they're totally not bothered by the fact that Wanda gave birth on the show. Like, oh, twin babies, that's not anything to question, really.
I think they kind of made a point of it, but they were like...
They weren't freaked out about it, because like, if I saw a regular woman with powers and an android having a babies, I would kind of question that. But there's like this moment where Wu was like, she's like, have you thought about it? And he's like, no, I don't know, but it'd be really cool to have. And she was like talking about the chips or something. But when they pull back, they hear the word Ultron. And was like, is this the first time they've made a mention of something from our world? And Darcy says, yes. So then there's this whole, who are you, Geraldine, blah, 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 blah. And then she violently deports, for lack of a better word, Geraldine, AKA Monica, from... passport, no entry, I guess, is it's weird, but yeah.
One of the more interesting things about this is that, like, when we saw the last episode, because now we're at last episode,
yeah,
where she kind of goes, Monica, who are you? And then next thing we see is just Vision coming in, and you know, Wanda's with the kids, you know. Now we actually get to see more of that conversation between Monica and Wanda that led to Monica getting, you know, exiled from Westview, which was very interesting. But then also the following conversation by Vision and Wanda had a more darker tone to it compared to how it was in the last
episode. Yeah. So what's interesting is, like, after Wanda kicks Geraldine out, she actually kind of like, she seems shocked by what she did and just kind of looks at her hands like, what's going on? But then she goes back to the kids. Vision enters, and there's a moment where we actually see his dead head, and Wanda just like cannot look at him, and she doesn't look back up until his face changes back. And it's a really powerful moment, because we actually see this is after Vision asks, where did Geraldine go? And Vision and Wanda says, oh, she had to go home, which is true. But what's interesting afterwards is Vision suggests that they can go somewhere else, they can move. And Wanda almost kind of tearfully says they can't, but then later says, because this is their home. So I guess the implication is they actually... I think the implication here is that if Vision leaves, he will die again. Which means somehow he's only alive in this reality. And I don't understand, like, why only this pocket reality? So those will be questions we answer next time. And so—
And not only that, keep in mind, we have 5 more episodes.
I know. So they take, basically Wanda takes Billy, I'm guessing, and Vision takes Tommy, because I can't imagine Tommy, I feel like Tommy's a fussy baby just because he grows up to be a speedster. So he's not going to want to be swaddled or held. He's like, put me on the ground. I'm like ready to crawl. I've only been alive for a few hours, but I'm ready to crawl because sitcoms, don't question it. But anyway, so as they sit back down, the angle of our view goes back to that full screen style, as opposed to the widescreen format we saw at the end of the previous episode, which means I think the implication here is that next week, we're actually gonna go back to the sitcom. But there is one last thing I noticed in this episode, is that at the end of the episode, what song plays during the credits?
Oh, it was, I know it was Jimi Hendrix.
Voodoo Child.
Yeah, Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix.
So first of all, Jimi Hendrix, a legend, an icon, just pure magic on electric guitar.
It's just a shame that a racist uses his music. Hulk Hogan, it's his entrance music.
No.
Yeah.
That's just, that feels so wrong on so many levels.
Exactly. How do you think us wrestling fans feel about it?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so every time I hear that song, I was like, oh, that's a great song. Oh, that's right, that racist uses that song.
I know literally nothing about Hulk Hogan, so anyway.
I'll explain it later. This ain't the episode for it.
You know? Yeah. So final thoughts. I mean, if you guys follow me on Tumblr, which I hope you do, because I post maybe too much lately when I'm not getting hate mail from people that can't handle a different opinion. Is I had a lot of thoughts, which first of all, I'm really proud of myself over the fact that like I've actually, a lot of my predictions have actually been accurate. So bonus points for me.
Get wrecked, nerds.
Yeah, cause I'm awesome. And I'm already getting messages and this episode hasn't even been posted yet. So,
Y'all people need to calm the hell down.
Everybody's excited. So there are some, looks like there's some WandaVision stuff leaking, and can people please stop leaking stuff?
Yeah. And not only that, but also we didn't touch base on this, but also when Darcy realizes that Wanda essentially is in this sitcom with Vision, we end up finding out that she's the one that's writing the notes behind the television. Because if you remember the very first episode, the way it ended was with somebody watching the TV, writing notes in a notebook.
Yeah, that was Darcy.
And that was Darcy. We didn't know that was Darcy until this episode. Now.
That's true. Yeah,
because you had thought it was somebody else initially.
I mean, it could have just been like because of the angle, it could have been like a generic sword agent because we saw the sword logos everywhere. But I like the fact that it was Darcy. I think it's a nice way to connect the rest of the MCU to things that we already know from it. Yeah. I have a lot of various different thoughts and opinions that will definitely be shared on my Tumblr and other places. I have a cat that is whining for my attention. So I think, Mike, this is the part where you talk about the things that you want to talk about this episode or talk about your social medias.
So real quick, Sasha and I were talking about this, and people need the chill. They need to take chill pills. One thing I will say before I get into the IMDb stuff is it's refreshing that we got away from the sitcom. It really is, because like I even said that last week's episode just felt really uncomfortable for multitude of reasons. It just didn't sit right with me. But being able to get out of the sitcoms and back into reality is a key thing, because now we're probably going to be getting a mixture of the sitcom with the reality, which is going to, you know, make this show even more interesting. I think Sasha would agree with that, because we actually share text messages when I started the episode going like, oh, the beginning of that episode. Holy cow. That's not exactly what I said. But then also the other thing, I was like, it was nice that this one got away from the sitcoms and went to reality. We needed that we needed to get away from the sitcom at least one episode.
Yeah, I will say, obviously, if you're going to send somebody these clips, ask them first, the ones that have been leaked. I have such mixed feelings over it. Like, I really want to know so bad about like what is going on, but also part of me is really enjoying the theorizing and the week to week. And so I have the option now to see these leaks, and I don't know if I want to. Part of me really wants to, but I also part of me doesn't.
Hey, remember when Endgame was coming out and they're like saying, don't be a dick, don't spoil the Endgame?
Yeah.
Don't be a dick, don't spoil WandaVision.
I think part of the issue, and this is not on Marvel, this is me crapping on nerds who live in mom's basements and who can't handle a comic book movie that is not all action-packed. Take a chill pill. And you said that already, but what really bothered me is that like nobody knew what to make of this show first, but before we even got last week's episode, everybody's already, oh, this sucks. Oh, this is so lame. Like, is this the last Marvel TV show that you watched? Like, is this like, this is the first like MCU officially connected show other than like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
in a way, Agent Carter.
Agent Carter is a prequel, so I count it less, but
yeah,
sort of prequel. So
it's still sort of connected,
right? But like a TV show doesn't tell you everything in the first episode. It doesn't tell you everything on the first, even in the first couple of episodes. So, like, the hate was really unnecessary. You could say, like, yeah, it was a little bit boring. The first episode is, like, 100% a sitcom. So, fair.
Well realistically, the first two episodes were really the sitcom episodes. And then
I would say even the first episode more so than the second episode, because in the second one, we got the helicopter. We had that weird moment with Dottie.
Well, yeah.
And Agent Wu.
Well, yeah. Like, they're both sitcoms, but, like, you started getting the seeps a little bit with the sitcom, and then you got more seeps into that sitcom with more, a little bit more reality. And now we've hit full blown reality at this point now. That explains everything that we just saw in these first three episodes.
No, 100%. So like, you needed to watch every single episode to really watch this mystery unravel. And I think the people that watched it were, I think part of it is because this is the first thing we've seen out of the MCUs in a year. But, like, I remember we had to wait an entire year for one movie, or 2 years or 3 years. Like, I remember when they first announced the Avengers movie, I remember when it was announced that Captain America was getting his own movie. So, like, chill and, like, take it easy and, like, calm down by, like, a lot. Yeah. And just enjoy the ride, because I'm enjoying the ride.
Yeah. And one of the big things is I know you don't care about the ratings, but it's something that I've been doing on the show, so we're going to keep it consistent. Consistency, it's a thing. So when we first started doing this, episode one, filmed before a live studio audience, it was in the high eights. It is now rated 7.5. Don't Touch That Dial was also rated in the high eights. Is now 7.9. Last week,
I'm still judging it. It's the fanboys that can't wait for act, because it all has to be action, all the action.
Yeah. Last week's episode was an 8. I believe it was actually an 8.5, or no, it was an 8. No, it was an 8.9. It dropped down to an 8.4, which was Now in Color. And then this week's episode, or today's episode, We Interrupt This Program, is currently sitting at a 9.2. on IMDb, and actually, if my mouse will cooperate with me,
I find it
this episode clocked in at 34 minutes.
Nice, solid.
And it should be noted that there is actually no trivia to this episode.
Yeah, I think I find it really interesting how, like, the episode titles are, like, about the style of the episode so much. And this episode is an important episode, but it also kind of almost feels like a commercial in between episodes, which is kind of funny.
Well, not only that, but it is the interruption in your regularly scheduled programming, because your regularly scheduled programming was the sitcoms, and now you're getting some more reality-based showing going, like, what the hell is going on with this sitcom?
So, yeah. I'm so excited for the 80s episode. It seems like we're in for a couple of surprises, including Sparky the dog. And I'm fairly confident that we will see an older version of the twins, the babies. So I'm super excited and terrified for that. But I'm really gonna get on this ride, and I'm gonna enjoy the ride. So with that, Mike, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on the social medias, on Twitter at TheLindenBaum75. Feel free to at me with your horrible takes. I will gladly talk to you, because nobody ever talks to me on Twitter.
I know, I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions. You can also watch me on Twitch playing NHL 21, Fall Guys, or Among Us, depending on what day you tune in, at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And you can find everything on the website at txhthockey.com. Hockey season's in full swing. I'm covering women's hockey. We're covering the NHL. There you go. If you're a hockey fan, you got that. But for the show, you go to txhthockey.com/nerdy-notions. It works the same.
There you go. And for me, you can find me occasionally on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. Twitter handle. There's a geek, there's a captain, or a Kaplan in there. Instagram is the Geeky Captain. And of course, you can find me on my primary world of Tumblr, which is geekgirl101.tumblr.com. If you're gonna send me hate mail, at least get creative about it, okay?
Yeah, send me hate mail on Twitter, damn it. I get nothing.
Do you want me to send you my hate mail? Because I will.
We'll discuss the hate mail that you get.
All right. So with that, please talk to me on Tumblr. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Let me know what you think of my fabulous voice. But thank you so much for listening, and join us next time as we go totally tubular and we get on our boards and get to the 80s.
The year, the decade I was born, I feel old.
You should.